So I'm a 40-year IT geek. Okay. I run consulting practices. I was a global expert in unified communications and collaboration. My whole world has always been about a consultative approach. Okay. So Catching Clouds is kind of a merge of my IT consulting and accounting practice. Okay. So
it'll be our first Swahili episode, but you just put the brakes on that. It's going to be in English. Hello and welcome. We are the Sons of CPAs. Join us as we question the current state of the accounting and tax industry with the next generation of professionals leading this space. We are all the change agents in an industry fraught with money and inertia. Let's begin the Sons of CPAs with your hosts today, Zachary Call and Scott Scarani.
Today we are blessed to have Scott Scharf.
Our names are very similar, so yeah. almost got that mixed up there. But Scott Scharf, Scott Scarano, it's like the two SCs. That's like Scott's SC squared today.
And your title now is CTO of
and e-commerce accounting practice lead.
Okay, and from Acuity, formerly co-founder of Catching Clouds, and. Yep. We're excited to have him. He's been an industry leader in this space for
at least 10 years,
maybe more. You were someone I looked up to in that.
Cool. Thank you.
I still look up to you.
I'm not very tall though. So,
well, that's the, none of us really are. Tell us about the picture behind you. Cause I love that. And I think that's a big metaphor.
Well, that's Bag End. So that's where Bilbo Baggins lives in Hobbiton. So I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, and I've been to Hobbiton in New Zealand, in Matamata, and it's awesome. And then, of course, I've got a Millennium Falcon because I'm a big geek and I've got a bunch of sci-fi stuff. And it really starts a lot of conversations, but I just love Lord of the Rings. It's probably about time I rewatch it. It's only been a few months. So
we are kindred spirits. I'm wearing a Game of Thrones shirt, and I'm deep into any of that. Right now I'm doing Harry Potter with my son, and we're going through that again.
Oh,
reading
cool.
The books together. It's been fun. Yeah, I love being inside of those worlds, and they are worlds. You can go into the Star Wars world, the Hobbit world, yeah, the Shire. This is awesome. I mean, good to have you on today. Yeah.
So Matt, clarify for the listeners, I think it was in September, wasn't it, that you announced this?
No, it was August 4th.
It was announced that Catching Clouds would be merging with Acuity, who is a fairly large regional accounting firm based out of Atlanta. Yeah.
Yep.
As a firm, I want to start with, when did you consider that you were not your own boss?
Well, I haven't been my own boss since I married Patty 25 years ago.
Perfect answer.
Oh yeah, she's in charge. And here's the thing. I've had Patty and I have a great working relationship and personal relationship, but already, even in the first meetings with the merger with Kenji and Matthew and meeting with Lisa, the other exec, we're just all peers. I knew at some point in time we'd hit a wall, and we did. I was staffing in the craziness this spring. And that we would end up having to merge with somebody, and picked our favorite people, and now they're peers and even better friends, and we're going to do cool stuff.
Matt May said something that stuck with me. It was like, we need more adults with the table, and why not work with your friends? I thought that was kind of cool.
Matthew's great. He's the one that threw the deal together, and it's been great so far, and I expect it to continue to get better. It's awesome.
So one of my questions was, did you hit a wall? But
we had 10 of our team of 17 here in Colorado quit in 5 weeks.
Wow.
That was
most
during COVID, right?
Poached by California companies, CPA practices paying 20 to 50% more than we paid. So we went from Patty not doing any of the e-commerce controller services for about 5 years to her handling 2/3 of our client load. We went away on our 25th anniversary trip. She's like, burn it to the ground. And I'm like, wait, put other options. So we got through all the emotion and reached out. And Ken, Jim, Matthew were one of the first people that we reached out to. And, you know, the rest is history.
Started recording before 4:20. I would have been all right.
You're a little high right now. I'm going to read everything and you can ad lib.
Yeah, I like this.
Okay.
Let's go. Tax Bandits ad.
Tax Bandits is a modern, full-service tax filing platform. File 1099s, 941s, W-2s, 1095s, and many more additional forms with Tax Bandits' sleek, modern interface. With a few clicks of a button, you can upload your client's tax information directly into Tax Bandits, either with a direct integration with Xero, QuickBooks Online, or use a CSV. Once the data is in Tax Bandits, you can check the recipient's TIN with best-in-class TIN verification, and then safely and securely deliver to your clients or your client's customers their tax forms.
So that's a great use case. I think I'm going to do that. Tell me about the verification.
Is it secure? It's secure. And when you're in-app, it does it for you automatically. Apparently, you can only like data verify 3 times before it'll deliver. So they'll verify it twice. They figured all that shit out. They'll also mail out your 1099 forms for you for additional fee. Everyone has those clients. They won't ever open their email for the 1099s. You got to mail it to them. You just click a button. Tax Bandits will handle that for you.
So is it built for accounting firms?
Tax Bandits is also built for accounting firms. They have completely redesigned their user interface to make it easy for you and your team members to quickly and efficiently deliver tax forms to your clients. Some accounting firm features include managing all your clients from one login, you can have multiple user permissions for your staff, real-time client communication in-app with clients, bulk distribution of recipient codes, and multiple payment options for your firm.
Well, that was recipient copies, not codes, but we don't have a code for them, do we?
No.
So visit TaxBandits, 1099.com. I don't even know their website.
It's literally on the next line you're supposed to read.
So get started today by visiting TaxBandits.com.
I think we all had some COVID problems too.
COVID for us, well, all but a few of our clients, since all of our clients are e-commerce, they were all up 20, 50, 200, 500%. So they were all rocking and rolling throughout that whole time. And so we actually continued to grow throughout last year.
That's awesome. I think the listeners would love to hear about the journey of catching clouds that you've been on for the past 10 years. What has brought you to this point today? Who started Catching Clouds? Was it both you and Patty that started it together, or did one of you start it and the other one join at some point?
Yeah. So, was this 11, 12 years ago? So Patty went to SleaterCon 2010, okay? And she called me after every session. The cloud's here. There's all this cool stuff. Not realizing, you know, how slow accountants adopt change. But she's like, got to get on it. Will you work? If I do this, will you help me? And I said, sure. And so we agreed to start the business. So Catching Clouds is kind of a merge of my IT consulting and accounting practice. Okay. So I don't think, yeah, well, actually, here's the change. Patty's story, she had a BlackBerry and she couldn't get the contacts to sync. Now, I couldn't make that work. But then she stopped and said, well, what do businesses do when they don't have accounting and they don't have technology and then all those things blend together? And she's like, would you do this with me? And that's where we really kind of got started with Catching Clouds. We created Sharf technology, and then Patty came up with the Catching Clouds name, which has been awesome. And it turns out we'd already started Catching Clouds. I get a call right then from my boss letting me know as part of the layoff. And I was like the happiest person to start off with. We took on, you know, we knew we'd pick a niche. We knew we'd be high tech. We knew we'd look at things, but we were evaluating kind of everything back then. And our first client was an Amazon seller. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And we dug in and we were building access databases because A2X wasn't available yet and all this other stuff, but it was super intriguing. And I thought, Patty's like, I don't care. I just get to do accounting and let's build a business and hire people. And then we kept going. And then I got another e-commerce. And after I think our third or fourth or around there, we went, oh yeah, this is our niche. And then we went all in. I did, I spoke about e-commerce accounting at SleaterCon 2012, somewhere in that time frame. And we had gone all in. We gave some of our clients 30-day notice. We gave a couple clients a couple months notice. And we gave one client 18 months notice. We're like, come on. Okay, you're going to have to leave and you're welcome to leave sooner. But when we get to this point, we're handing you off. And that was just a great decision because there's riches in the niches. As soon as you pick a niche, you can pick your tech stack. You focus your marketing. And for me, being kind of a idea visionary all over the place, it is so refreshing. For the last 10 years, I've been using almost the same contracts, all the same pricing models, all the same conversation, and it's consistent. There's just, it's all about the value discussion versus, oh, this week we're doing that, and that week, this week. It's been, it's really nice, mostly because Pat is an integrator and keeps me in track. And then we just kept growing. You know, we got a few years in and hired 5 people and then hired 5 more. And our peak, we were at 30. So 20 in the US, mostly in Colorado, and then 10 virtual accountants.
So it's interesting. You mentioned that she's your integrator and you're the visionary, because when she said, let's burn it all down, and you spoke the reason, I was going to jump in and say, so are you the integrator and is she the visionary?
No, I'm very much mostly a visionary, and I can do the integrator stuff and dive in and build, you know, really technical processes, but I can only do it one more time. After I build it, I'll do it one time to test it. If you ask me to do it 2 to 10 times, I'm like, hell no. That's what other people are for.
Oh man, I'm with you. That's a long-term thinking too. Like, you know, you're looking at it long-term and you're looking to scale, and you don't want to have to do something twice. It's like, all right, I already did this. Let's go. Like, I figured this out already. Yeah,
that's correct. And Patty, well, you know, I've got a little bit of integrator. She's got a little bit, probably more visionary than I have integrator, but then she's just a hardcore integrator. We're all about traction and ECF, or not ECF.
VOS, yeah.
Yeah. So that's great.
That's dope. You two are obviously a good pair in marriage, but in work too. And I find that that's the ties that bind, obviously. My parents work together too. So, you know, I've seen that throughout most of my life.
I think it takes a special personality to be able to work with your spouse and to thrive with your spouse under those circumstances. And Patty is amazing. I've met Patty a couple times as well, and she is just, her ability to understand things and come up with practical solutions is pretty incredible, I think. And it's really great to have a partner like that that can round you out, feel like compliments you appropriately.
She keeps my ego in check too. So
let's see this. So 2012, were speaking at SleaterCon. What were the phases or the patterns in the business? Did you find that because I think with mine, I found a $400,000 pattern. Like every time we hit a certain mark, 400,000, 800, 1200, 1.2 million, 1.4, or 1.6. It's like, that's when things change. That's when my profitability gets messed up. So I don't know if you've noticed that too, or what other patterns you might've seen.
Yeah. I mean, first being one, it was making the decision to go all in on e-commerce. Okay. And say no to everything else. That is such a fundamental lesson, is being able to say no, because the more you say no, then you can do so much better on the things you say yes to. And then I kind of went all in, and it was kind of about, oh, I'm speaking at Sleater. I should probably become an expert in all this stuff. That's also when I went, what's this sales tax thing? Patty explained it to me and I went, that's crazy. And then dug in and I was like, oh, well, that's like a huge value to e-commerce sellers, is they don't understand sales tax because it's so insanely complex. It was kind of, it forced me. I did an all day paid for session on e-commerce accounting. We took our best practices and shared stuff. And I did that a couple of years for Sleater. And that really drove me to really focus. And then we just started going to where our clients were. And we were early on. We've been doing this 10 years. And then we just kind of grew, but we kind of hit the wall and did our first hire, and then made it, and then got our second hire, and then waited about a year, and then hired like 9 people in a year. Like, because we had the work and the revenue, and it just, and once we did that, then we were able to do the next thing and go through. So I don't know, Patty would be the detail person who would know, well, we hit this number, then we hit this number, but
sure,
because we're fixed fee, it just kept building on itself, and it just kept getting better and better. And so for a year or two, we were chasing the, oh, well, we have this much income, let's hire some more people. And then when we decided to focus on profitability, it was awesome. Like we focused in on it, made some changes, built some automation, and added some more process. And then you know, we just started cranking away.
Process and profitability and people. Yeah. The three P's, I think.
You need the people part, you know. I am so glad I will never manage or hire another person in my life.
It sounds like that was a big driver behind the journey to merging with Acuity.
That it
had grown to a point where it was just too much for the people aspect of managing all these different people and what they were doing. And you wanted to focus more on your core competencies and Patty's core competencies.
That is totally accurate. That is exactly the piece. And I mean, Acuity, there's a bunch of stuff that I'm in. Just like we had Acuity Con. So Acuity has its employee year meeting. Everybody can fly to Atlanta that chooses to. We had about a little over a third of the team show up. And then it's like zero Con or QBO, because we had Zero, Melio, Avalara, Veeam. Oh God.
Gusto's there.
All there. We have vendors there for all of our team and our accounts. All of us are now going to go to ZeroCon and QBO, the five of us together, but you know, it pulls everyone together. And it just, I was there listening to Kenji and Matthew do their keynote speech. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I totally believe that. I totally agree with it. And then I went, wait, they're my partners.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then I did a quick gut check, because I do tend to get the buyer's remorse no matter what. And I went, nope, all good. So that was really kind of a key thing, but they've got kind of the hiring wired. They just provide flexible work. Kenji's whole focus is, how do we make this a great place to work? Okay. And one of my main goals as the CTO is making Acuity easier to use, first for our team and then for our clients. Okay. So better technology, structure, standards, and all those things. So it's just kind of it. We're heading in a good direction.
So I think it, you know, to a larger degree, the people problem, right? But it seems like in the beginning, you guys kind of had it solved. At what point did you guys start with remote hires, or did you ever have an office? Like,
had an office, 100% remote the whole time. Every interview was on Skype from day one, including somebody that lived like two blocks from me.
How did you make your first hires?
Yeah. I mean, God, way back then we probably did. I mean, I know how we evolved and got our hiring processes automated and structured. So it was the minimal amount of time for Patty and I. But to begin with, we probably posted something. We just did up a job ad and posted it on a Craigslist, and, you know, Monster Indeed wasn't big back then.
Yeah.
And found a great person who was with us for a number of years, and she was great. And then we did it again and did it again.
Did you have any assistance there? What were you doing? Like just to hire your first people, that's gotta be like, you know, one of the big things too.
When we hired the nine people that year, we worked with Accounting Fly.
Jeff Phillips. Shout out to Jeff Phillips.
And we did concierge, and they did all the pre-interviewing and everything else, and said, okay, we interviewed, you know, they interviewed 20 people. Here are the three or four that you should be talking to. And then we talk to them and make a decision from there. And that was great, because we had so many other things going on, and we had so many other things. We got beyond that. We're like, oh, we kind of have this figured out. So we used Workable and a lot of Zapier to push things through, and then Indeed and Craigslist, and then Spark Hire for one-way interviews. So we just kind of evolved to the point where we got the hiring process down. Now, we did a lousy job on hiring in many cases. And then the biggest problem that we've learned is that we did not fire fast enough or enough,
yeah,
that there has to be a certain amount of turnover or the business isn't healthy.
Well, to a certain degree, a lot of us are afraid to fire people, because then who's going to do all the work? Well, you know, it's, yeah. And then what are the clients going to say? The clients that might like them, or whatever it is. Like I always fear that. That's, you know, I think in my day, like it's hire slow and fire fast.
We just didn't do that. If we had done it, it could have made some changes, but we're in a good place there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, we used Accounting Fly for our latest two hires too. And that worked out, because I just didn't want to be part of it. Like you said, like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. Like, and now you have a whole team of people that are just focused on HR and hiring, I'm sure, like with 150 1,530 people. What's the count now? I'm sure you got it.
I haven't looked at the official number. We're still, Patty and I are still building databases. It's been fun.
Oh, wow.
Scavenger hunt. There's so much stuck in various people's heads. Patty and I, and one of the things we really bring is systems and process and data structure and, you know, Airtable and Zapier. And so we're still pulling that all together. I haven't looked at the current number, but it's about 135 is what the number of people.
That's dope.
How has your life changed after moving to Acuity? You're 3 months into this.
We first weekend, we got our weekends back. Okay. You know, the whole entrepreneurial piece where you work all the time. So Patty and I had gone off to New Zealand with our daughter for New Zealand and Australia for 5 months in 2019. So happy we did it in 2019, not 2020. But one of the reasons we went was to see where our business wasn't resilient. How would it run without us? So we took the first whole month off, and then we worked basically half time while we were traveling, which was that was amazing. And we got back and realized we had a capacity problem. So we hired virtual accountants. Then we realized that, oh, we were trying to let everybody do their own thing. And basically, if you had five people, there were seven ways they were doing things. So we implemented hired virtual assistant accountants and set up Process Street, which we love to provide all these structured processes, which has made us so successful in pushing work over. It's also what saved us from imploding when all the people left. We just pushed from 30, 40% of the work, bookkeeping and accounting work, to our virtual accountants to 80% in a week. Okay. And just reassign work, provide some training. And in about 3 weeks, we were humming along, actually running better than we did when we had all those extra staff. We didn't have enough staff, you know, to support all the clients, but it was interesting times.
What's the difference with a virtual accountant and a staff? I hear you saying virtual accountant. Can you describe what that is?
So we've got, other than crazy things Patty and I do, and we have one Katie, who's one of the non-accountants. Katie and I are the non-accountants. So we have virtual accountants that do all the bookkeeping and the basic daily stuff, technical downloads, and really quite a bit of the accounting. Then we have our e-commerce accountants that were here in the US now with Acuity. They're here in Colorado and now in St. Lucia. And they're the ones that review the virtual accountant work, provide another level of review. And then they do the higher level accounting up to journal entries. And they're the ones that interact with the clients, fix bank feeds, handle more complex stuff, especially interacting with the clients on an ongoing basis. Then we have our e-commerce controllers who are responsible for the quality of the books, reviewing the work from everybody, making sure the balance sheet balances and the P&L is accurate. And then they're there to translate the financials, the detailed, accurate financials that we're providing our clients so that they can make great business decisions. So we've got that, but that top tier e-commerce controllers, e-commerce accountants are US based. What for Patty and I, for the whole time of catching clients, we only hired people in Colorado. So we're like, well, until we can't find anybody in Colorado, and then we couldn't find anybody anywhere in the US. Like when everybody left, we used to spend $1,000 and get 100 to 200 to 300 leads, and there'd be maybe 50 people or 30 people that we would push through workable and spark hire and interview half a dozen and have one or two, maybe three that are worth hiring. Okay. We went 2 months and we were getting maybe one bad, unqualified candidate a week.
That's crazy.
Like the whole job market has just switched and it's going to flex back again, but we've got years of crazy to work at.
Yeah. This is the reverse COVID issues. This is like the core problems. The surface problems were people were going out of business and everything else. But your clients were doing very well, but it's more of like the migration. You know, people are leaving California and California firms are hiring virtual people at a lot higher. You know, they can afford to pay more because that's how much they were paying their people that left. So,
well, actually they pay a little bit less. They can actually pay less than California rates, but premium rates in Denver, Midwest, or wherever else. And it's all about the great resignation. So COVID one. There's a certain amount of natural job change, but anybody that could hunkered down. So people didn't leave. And then with COVID and everything else, everybody reevaluated their world going, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And so people are just shifting around all over the place. And so it's just something to roll with. And that's the thing about the Acuity approach and how they hire and retain people is really kind of nice. It's totally respectful. It's all about the culture, giving people the ability to let them smart humans do smart human things and give them, you know, room to do stuff. And then Patty and I are going to bring in kind of a base of standardization and automation and process that's going to make them more effective. Because our whole view is we're not trying to replace humans. We're going to make the computers do as much of the work. So us as smart humans aren't doing data entry, and we're the ones interacting and making decisions or validating things and then communicating internally and externally to make things happen. You know, not so much, hey, you're pounding in all the invoices. We'll build a Zap to do all of that.
You were speaking of everything structured, like the virtual accountants, they're kind of backwards facing. They're doing a lot of the work on the back end. You got your e-com accountants that are front facing, client facing, but not necessarily CFO. And then you have your CFO level of advisors, so to speak. You're not spending a ton of time. The base of the pyramid isn't a ton of people doing a ton of work because you've automated so much too. So I think that's a beautiful approach. And I think it's a very key reason why you guys were able to successfully merge, because similar philosophies, right? And similar ways of running the business. What is that noise?
We got people doing some lawn work outside, but that's okay because we're talking about reach reporting right now.
We're not talking about lawn work then.
No. This is our reach reporting ad. You've never built a report like what Reach can offer, because you've never had such an easy access to all your financial data before.
I feel like I already know how to use this product and I haven't started using it.
You want a product that you can use right away, because if it takes a lot of time to do it, accountants don't have that time.
Well, we also don't want to learn new things. A lot of times we just want something to work right out of the box, because we spent our whole lives learning new things. We don't want to learn something new when it comes to reporting. We know what we want the report to look like, and now we just want it to be effortless. I think Reach does that.
You can build any metric that you want. It's like using Excel, but with live accounting data.
Live accounting data.
God, it's pretty accountants cool. Love that.
They do. They love Excel, joining live data, Excel-like functionality, and gorgeous presentation. You know, it's like Word, Excel, PowerPoint all working together. Reach is the Microsoft suite of reporting. Sweet. I think that's pretty cool. The clients will absolutely love the reports that I will send them.
But it takes minutes to build and create. So basically, it's not going to take you that much time, and you're going to be able to give them fantastic reports.
So for our firm, at least, the success of our advisory services really relies on a strong relationship, and strong relationships start with communication. You can't just give them data without the visuals, right? They need the visuals. Clients get a deep understanding of their financial situation.
And reporting for clients is tough for a bunch of reasons. It is tough because every client's a little different. So you need a software that can help you standardize some processes and create beautiful reports. And that's what Reach does.
Yeah. The dashboards and reports that kind of tell a story, but turn your custom reports into templates you can automate. I love the customization to their reports too. You can customize your branding. They basically white label everything.
You like custom Jordans?
I do like custom Jordans.
And you like your custom reporting?
Custom Jordans and custom reporting. I can't fathom what they're going to do next.
So go to reachreporting.com and check them out.
Reach Reporting, complex data made simple.
I think that's fine. I think that covers it. I wanted to switch courses, maybe if that's okay, and talk about some of the other things that you did under Catching Clouds. One of which I personally appreciated, which was the Catching Clouds Academy and digital downloads. And
That was fun. So somewhere along the line, one of my crazy visionary ideas was, let's build a SaaS tool. There's this huge gap of technology. And actually, I had a great design and planned, and I just hired the wrong developer. But as part of that, we were like, hey, we need to do some marketing. And right before we went to New Zealand, Pat is like, you know what? I'm going to start recording videos. I should be the face at Catching Clouds. I'm the actual accountant. So we did both started the YouTube channels. We're so proud of the YouTube, the 100+ YouTube videos, and we're going to re-record those and repurpose them and leverage that with Acuity over the next.
Just call it Drink While You Think and load it up.
You're going to start seeing all this stuff come together. And then we went, since Catching Clouds always took on the $1 million to $50 million sellers. We were saying no to everybody below $1 million. Okay. If you were doing under 50K per month, then you weren't fit, but we didn't like saying no. So what we did is we created the YouTube videos so that they could go there and do stuff for free. And then we built the courses, the accounting for Amazon and accounting for shopping course. And we sold one today. We're still selling them. And so that people could do it themselves, because when you're starting up, e-commerce is so crazy. You're doing all this stuff. You're buying inventory. You don't know what's going on. And you just need to get the basics of accounting. And after talking to probably a couple thousand sellers, entrepreneurs, none of them went into business to pay taxes, pay sales tax, fill out forms, do bookkeeping. Even the few people that were CPAs or finance people, they were at some other level. They're either focused on tax or big picture stuff. And then they decided this is the new job they were going to do. And they want to outsource that. I consider accounting one of the dirty jobs. Okay. Trashed. I totally respect the trades, plumbers, electricians, all those other people. Well, accounting is required for businesses. It's fairly recession proof and it's required, and people really value it because most people don't. Like, I've balanced the checkbook in 26 years or 26 and a half years. And I hated doing it. And I'm like, all right, that's a good division of labor. I have a lot of other responsibilities and things that are, that I have to take care of, but it's just a good balance. And then e-commerce sellers outsource their accounting and then their fulfillment to a third-party logistics warehouse. Okay. And then they might do whatever else they will.
That's you said one point in there where you, stopped taking clients under a million. At what point did you guys decide to do that? Was it 2012 or was it at some point did you run up?
Probably 2015-ish. The reason we did that was everybody that was below a certain size kept going out of business. Okay. And we're like, yeah. And you get somebody on board. Now our challenge is we onboard somebody, they get pretty financials, they show it to an aggregator and boom, they sell. So our most common way, and had for years, that we lose clients is that they're selling their business. But the big shift was we set those thresholds because the smaller businesses kept going out of business, and you'd get them onboarded and set. And then we look at their financials and we're like, well, our accounting services are putting you into the red every month. That like, that doesn't make sense. And we had a bunch of really great clients that we really liked. And we basically got together, had a conversation and mutually in the nicest possible way, fired each other.
I mean, this makes so much sense for any firm out there, like any listener too, because you want to be able to price high, and it's very hard. Like you said, you don't want to put them in the red, but it makes for more consistency in your systems and your processes and your pricing too. If you say at this minimum, and that seems like the right fit. Like I'm looking at our clients across the board, and everything's easier for the clients that are making a million plus. Like everything's easier to price, easier to deal with. They have systems in place internally too. It's just a better run business, right?
Got to get through the basics, and whether they do it all, whether they do EOS or they just figure it all out again, or they just wing it, they evolve and they become better. So yeah, I agree. And then you're dealing with an entrepreneur, so you get financials. And then of course, clients forget the pain of not having financials. The weekend, one weekend a month, they would lose to do all of their accounting. And they still didn't know if it was done right or what their cash flow was. We got clients like get 6 months in and go, wow, you guys charge a lot. I'm like, do you want me to show you your investment where we looked at how messed up your financials were before we started and how much time were you spending on that? It's kind of like childbirth. You forget the pain. That's why they're multi kids, in a family, in a single family. If men had to give birth, everybody would have to be a single child.
I think so. Yeah, that's it. We were talking about that last night at dinner. Wow, we have three kids. You have three as well, right? Or do you have two?
I have two.
Two. And then Zachary, you've got three, but it's like my wife, she was just talking about the childbirth thing. So there's also that regard, like years and years ago, women didn't even survive after one or two kids,
Well, and then the baby thing, Patty's family, her dad's family, they would have a ton of kids because you needed spares. They're on the farm and everything else. And they actually had one die from the Dust Bowl and another with like SIDS, because you didn't know it was SIDS at the time. And, just different times.
Same thing with, not even different times, but like my wife is from a village in Mexico. And, and this was like, they lived on a farm, so to speak. And it was, that's just how it is. And I think it's also help.
Yeah. What do you most look forward to now in the next 10 years? You said you have 10 more years at Acuity.
when Patty and I, when all the crazy happened, we looked and we said, you know what? We're not done. Okay. We're not willing to take a step back a couple of years and rebuild ourselves over time. We were capable of, but we were just too tired to do it. And so we looked and we talked to a number of our peers. We had multiple offers, but the other offers were very transactional. Sell the clients. How fast can we get out and go do something else? Okay. But the way, and I really appreciate Matthew and Kenji, of course, but Matthew came up and they came back with an offer that was fair, respectful. And just the fact that they said, okay, Scott, you're the new CTO, totally fits me. I'm having a blast. Hey, Patty, you're the chief process officer. We didn't come up with that. They did. He brought it to us. And then they came here and Kenji and Matthew spent a couple days here at our house. And we just talked about all the things. They were vulnerable and honest about what was going on. And we were too. And it just, the more we talk, the more we're like, oh, this is going to be cool.
I think that's so cool.
What do you think a good advisor to small and medium-sized businesses looks like in the future? And how does that differ from when you started?
So it's technology is more and more important. Managing, dealing, optimizing people is important to all of our clients, to everybody out there these days. But it still all comes down to building a relationship. I can tell you that I'll talk to clients and they know I'm there and I have great relationships and I talk to them, but our clients don't stay because of me. They don't even stay because of the work we're doing. They stay because of their e-commerce, they have e-commerce control over who they build a relationship with, who they can interact with in person. They can ask questions about their business that they don't understand in a vulnerable way and say, am I making money? Am I losing money? Or am I spending too much on marketing or whatever? They need to be able to ask those questions so that they can get the answers and be ready to accept them. And that's where really advisors go. And then, in my opinion, and we'll focus on this in Acuity as well, is focus on a niche and become really deep in expertise. So when they ask those questions, you can say, hey, consider this related to this. Oh, here's the technology you need to implement it. And here's the other pieces. And here's how it's going to impact cash flow. And hey, we'll help you figure out what financing capital you need to make that all happen. Because I can tell you most people, so I think like an engineer, software development, engineer, process, checklist. Patty and most accountants have a methodical, hey, I'm going to just put that in Excel and I'm going to make sure that everything ties out and it balances. That is unique to accountants and very small, certain amount of people that are project managers and IT people. Most entrepreneurs do stuff different every single day. There's no structure, standardization. They just don't think that way. And they need people with an accountant mindset. And I pick up accountants all the time. Yeah. Because I'm married to one.
Well, I don't. Yeah. I mean, rightfully so. Accountants should be picked on. I pick on them too. And I am one. I think that what you're saying is like continuity, right? The whole process that you're doing is providing continuity for them to see their business in a continuous lifestyle and see the future of, okay, this is my partner. You know, you're not just doing the books for them or just doing the taxes. You're their partner in crime, not in crime. But you know what I mean?
Where we consider ourselves part of our clients' businesses. And whenever anybody comes to us, it's, look, you're paying, we're collaborating, you're paying, you're outsourcing critical services to us. We don't work for you. I've probably fired every person that ever said, no, you work for me. And the customer is always right. I fire on the spot.
Yeah, that's a mindset that jumps out when they say that out loud. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they say it out loud, I'm like, oh, that's why you're such a pain. And then yeah. I let it go. You know, and so, but for the other people, it's peers. We've got clients and I appreciate the hell. And I really look forward to getting together with more of our clients that stuck around with us. They have all the value that we've committed the whole time.
You got to pay attention to the details. Those people that you had to fire, they will never be their own boss because they think they think everyone works for them too, right? Like that brings into the point of the beginning. It's like some people will always think they're the boss of everything. And they just fail. They're going to hit the biggest ceiling and hit the biggest wall. And then they come back to you when they realize it. And it's like, it's a little too late now. You know, like I've seen that in a lot of cases too.
Well, you had asked about the 10 years thing. We're not done. We're not done with e-commerce as a niche. We're not done at leveraging technology and automating things. Like Patty and I are super excited about just the massive impact we're going to have on Acuity and the whole team of really taking all the automation and structure and data and pushing that into Acuity. And so I'm looking forward. I mean, this quarter is all about, I just merged Slack last night. I've already merged Google. I merged LastPass. I'm building standards. I'm moving Google Drive data and consolidating stuff. And then I've got to merge Xero and Process Stream, Gusto, and all these others to pull and merger together. And that's going to keep me busy probably until the end of the year. Now, I'm still actively working in e-commerce. I did a sales call today and I'm continuing to do that. But that's going to be great. It's going to just level up the security. And you know, Acuity is always a very technical company. They have very technical people that understand technology to use for accounting. And they have some people that aren't very technical, but they haven't had somebody in my role, my focus of, hey, this is what the IC structure, here are the basics that need to be in place. But as soon as that's done, I am so looking forward to redoing what Catching Clouds did on QBO, because Acuity does QBO. And that was probably 60% of my leads or more were on QBO. And most people, their QBO file was so corrupt, they could convince them to convert to Xero. So I'll be building that app towards the end of the year. I'm also probably roll into Q1, we'll be doing, I'll take the, Acuity has CFOs. And all I have to do is build the tech stack, train them on e-commerce. And now we have that next tier of providing CFO services above our controller services. Next year, I'll be building Catching Clouds or e-commerce practice on NetSuite, which we've had quite a few clients outgrow us at 30, 40 million. They need to move up. And then they keep coming back to me every 6 to 9 months. Do you guys do NetSuite yet? I just had a request this week of somebody that was, or last week, that was like, hey, I can't find a decent bookkeeper who understands e-commerce to work on NetSuite. So we did that. And so it's just...
So new GLs, that's the future too, right? Like, because we're all in the Xero world, I think. And a lot of our guests have been too, but we know the QuickBooks world and we know like that it's out there. I think Acuity has been able to balance both, which is rare in a firm. But yeah, so I guess speak to that. Like, are you excited about working in QuickBooks now that it's better?
I can't stand into QuickBooks. My main thing, tell accountants here, okay? My biggest thing. So today, after Xero got 200 million VC funds and Intuit spent who knows how much to play catch up with the five bad cloud solutions they had. Today, feature for feature, they're pretty close. QBO builds something into it, that is Xero builds it, and if, you know, vice versa. And they're fairly consistent, but Intuit is a shareholder-driven marketing company. That's it. They don't care about accountants. They don't care about consumers. They don't care about small businesses. That's what all their marketing says, but they do. I have built relationships all over. Patty and I have gone to QuickBooks Connect, and the only person I could name off the top of my head that's ever been at Intuit that I respected and knew and had a relationship with is David Leary, who's no longer there, okay? I get to Acuity and I'm going, who are our partner reps and who do we link with and who do I talk to? You know, because they're, you know, they were dealing with both either Atlanta based or larger platinum based, you know, partner reps. I'm like, do you have anybody at Intuit? And they're like, no. Acuity's 5 times larger than Catching Clouds and they didn't have a relationship. And my whole decision, if you're talking about tech stack or everything else, I want to have a relationship at the executive level. If I don't have a relationship at the executive level, we'll know where the future's going or whatever else. Then I make sure I always have a relationship at the product management development level to influence features and see things ahead of time and know what's coming. Then we make sure we have standard support, but also a way to escalate support calls for our clients, which we're having to do a bunch for Gusto now because Gusto support's gotten so bad. You have to go through your reps to get the cases handled in a reasonable time frame. And then we have the partner reps and the people that take us to lunch and the people we hang out with at conferences and everything else. And that's been my core. And Xero is just a great company. I literally know hundreds of people there, but it's just, they care about small business. And the fact that all of their marketing through XPAC and everything else is better. Every Xero customer is better attached to an advisor. Doesn't have to be me, but the fact that they push that to make people, you know, and they pulled all the stats together to say, look, with our tool, you're this much better, but with our tool and the appropriate advisor, this will increase your ability to stay in business and be profitable and and make it past 1 year, 2 years, 5 years.
So I'm glad you said that too, because I've always felt that way about Zero, and like they care, like it's a relationship too, and mm-hmm. they care about us as firms more. I mean, you know, obviously they care about their product, and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, we mean a lot to them too, because we put our clients on there, but they actually do show an interest, and I feel like it's a partnership more so than we're just a vendor to them, I think, you know, and that's, I don't know if I was in a bubble or not, so I'm glad you said that. That's cool.
No, they're great. And then beyond NetSuite is, and my passion is going to be robotic process automation, taking Zapier to the next level. Patty's built all of our Airtable and Zapier so far. and we have hundreds, and we're re-linking them and remapping them and building a bunch for Acuity. But for me, it's how can I future-proof Acuity? How can I continue to be an expert on, you know, what's going on, both building relationships with whether it's Melio, Veeam, Bill.com, like all direct competitors, and figuring out what's the right solution to help our clients' businesses succeed, but really just to make Acuity easier to use and a great place to work. You can work the number of hours you want to work on the type of work that you want, and you have all the support, the right computer, the right tech stack of core services, then the right cloud accounting tools and the right amount of automation. So you're not going back 20 years in your career and doing data entry. You're doing that higher level work and escalating people. My view is, and I talk about my triangle, the bottom of that is automation. When I start doing RPA, I'm going to automate probably 50% of what our virtual accountants do. Right. And I don't want to cut back on virtual accounts. I'm going to take those same people, upskill them, train them on Zapier, and have them do even more higher level account. Okay. Right. And then the e-commerce accountants are going to be more troubleshooters, and they're going to evolve, and they're going to help automate and really provide more of that advisory service. And then you've got the controllers, because you need a CPA in there to double check. It drives me nuts when I talk to people like, oh, I just hired a bookkeeper. I'm like, does anybody review the work? Well, I do. Like, we always have multi-layers of review, and then things still slip through there.
You know. Well, you got it built in, and like you're, you know, when you said your triangle, and I think you're going to turn it more into a diamond when you do the RPAs, right? Like you're going to be able to have less and less of the volume of virtual accountants, so to speak.
They'll support more clients. They'll double or triple the number of clients that they're supporting.
It could be a one-to-one with your, you know, virtual accountants, your e-com accountants, and then your e-com controllers, and then your e-com CFOs. So that's dope.
So we're running up on time. We just have a little bit of time left. I have a few closing questions, if that's
okay.
First off, what do you want people to know about you and Catching Clouds and Acuity?
Yeah. So we're not going anywhere. Catching Clouds will continue to be the e-commerce accounting high touch daily, weekly, monthly service under Acuity. Acuity is going to be doing great things around crypto and SaaS and VC and their other verticals. And that we're just going to continue to take great care of our people so that they can provide really high quality services to help all the entrepreneurs. And I really believe small business really drives the economy, no matter how much crazy stuff's going on and other things you're going to notice, but it's all of them small businesses that as accountants we're supporting. And I just want us to keep doing better at that. And it's just important on how we do it, not just that we do it, but how we do it from a relationship with our clients, from a relationship with the vendors and relationships with our employees. I said, I won't manage or hire anybody again, but I will collaborate. I will coach. I will mentor all day long. I just did not their direct HR report. So those are the things that you really want to come together to really help everybody. And that's what I'm most excited about. I mean, I get to play with a lot of cool technology, but there's an end purpose. Okay. Like if you've ever done a program to do Hello World, if you don't have a project that you want to do, you kind of fumble around. But the purpose of, hey, we're here to get our clients accurate financials so they stay in business and they hit their big why, and knowing what that is and building a relationship doing it, that's awesome.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite book?
Oh God.
Good question. I like that.
You know, and I'm not going to say Lord of the Rings, even though that would be the obvious answer. I want to reread The Hobbit.
Let me clarify. Do you have a favorite book for accountants?
Oh, for accountants.
That's not as fun.
Oh, God. Anything by Simon Sinek, the Infinite Game, would probably be on there. I do also love Super Freakonomics and Freakonomics and all that. I mean, it's just fun data stuff. I do like the Veeam book that I have, which is Keeping Your Balance, The Ultimate Guide to Accounting. It has a flask in it.
Oh, really? I love that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Traction. Other books, anything by David Weber for the Honor Harrington series.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
Just, it's amazing. Yeah, actually, the latest book just showed up yesterday. I already read it as an ARC, as a PDF, but now I've got the book.
Is this a fantasy or is this actually a Weber?
Art sci-fi, military sci-fi, space battles, space opera.
I want to read it. I want to check out the first one. Yeah.
Okay, so on Basilisk Station, I think.
That's the one I should start with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Honor Harrington, amazingly great, powerful female protagonist. And it's just, and it's the top two shelves of my bookshelf. So it's like 20 plus 25 books total. So once you get started, you've got lots. There's a lot.
I might want to go back and read The Infinite Game. I read it back in 2019 and it made an impression on me. And then now I don't even remember much of it. And it's sitting on my bookshelf on display. Like I have that and The World Without Email. So I think those are two of the best books I've read recently.
No, and another random one is Scott Adams' Loser Think. It's really Loser Think. It's a really
glad you brought up Scott Adams. So Scott Adams does Dilbert, and I'm using a similar version of Dilbert for Zachary's picture on the Sons of CPAs. I changed the character in there. You might like it. It's little pop figures of us. Yeah, Zachary's like the Dilbert. The character is Zachary because he usually wears a bit of a tie. Maybe not a tie, but he usually wears a button up shirt. So
that's very cool.
Nod to that.
Consulting for Pacific Val, telecom consulting. My prior IT work, and I did a bunch of work for Pac Bell, and I never met Scott Adams because he had already left, but they had his cube was there, and that's where they got all the stories. Like, how would you like to work there, read Dilbert, and then have
and he was still there while he was
see that, oh, I was in that meeting where, you know, the executive said bah.
So he's wrote a few books. I know there's the one with the big foot on it. It's got an orange cover and I forgot the title of it, but I liked it a lot. Do you, usually we leave off with Zachary, give you key takeaways. Yeah. And
all right. These are key takeaways that I took from Scott. Scott, we'll always look up to you. I think for the next 20 years, I hope you and your wife continue to be in the industry. I think you guys are awesome and keep it up. But here's what I took away. Walls will always be hit. But there's always options. There's always things we can do to get through them. There's riches in the niches. Focus on your stack. Focus on marketing in that niche. Say no so that you can say yes. Be a place where talent wants to work. Fire more quickly and get your business healthier. Take time off to see what's wrong with your business. Getting processes right will lead to real long-term success. The humans in accounting are here to validate, ensure accuracy, and translate the figures. Accounting is a dirty job. It's recession-proof, but not really sexy. Good advisors must be able to combine technology, core competency, and relationships.
Those were some beautiful takeaways.
That's awesome.
And that's all stuff that you said, Scott. This is the Scots in the house. Yeah.
I love this kind of stuff. So now I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. It's been a pleasure,
Scott. You're awesome.
Yeah, but thank you. It's great seeing you, Zach. It's great talking to you. Scott, you and I, you ping me on Slack and what Gusto, GPAC, and whatever else. So I love the relationships and really enjoy, even though I'm not an accountant, going to ZeroCon and QuickBooks Connect and all these other conferences because it's just great people trying to solve problems. So, you know.
You're an honorary accountant. Let's make fun of us.
Awesome. We need to get Patty on the pod, Scott.
We need to get the rest of Acuity. So we've already had Kenji. Patty, I want to meet her. We're going to lead this into having her on next.
Okay.